Tonight, here on the Plastic Sushi Strawberries and Time Sound Collage, our theme is It's Atomic, as we commemorate the anniversaries of the atomic bombings of Hiroshima on August 6th, 1945, and Nagasaki, Japan, August 9th. We began that last set with a mix produced by Chuck Yu, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, and Edward R. Murrow. And that was, as its basis, the OMD song Enola Gay. And Edward Murrow was a journalist, and he was describing the plane as it was leaving its island in the Pacific to head toward Japan. And then we heard from Sonny Boy Williamson, Win the War Blues, from the Atomic Cafe soundtrack, which we've been sampling in some other places. And then where we had heard the Cherry 2000 cool cover version of Van Halen's Atomic Punk, well, in that last set, we heard Van Halen's original version from their eponymous first album. And then another selection from the Atomic Cafe soundtrack, the Buchanan Brothers, talking about atomic power and the high hopes there were for lots of positive things coming out of that. And we concluded the set with U2 and a selection from their How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb album. Really rocking riff there, Vertigo. You know, no matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody ought to know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Because you never know when you might find yourself facing one. Like, maybe at a playground, on the ground. You wouldn't leave it there for kids to play with. You'd pick it up and you'd bring it to the authorities. I think we read so many tragedies where people don't understand the most basic rule about guns. They're not toys. But in any case, a good rule zero to remember is that all guns are always loaded. Even if they're not, because you know it's not loaded, it's loaded anyway. Think of it that way. And then the rule after that is never ever point a gun at anything you're not willing to completely and utterly destroy. Not playing around with joking, not, you know, no. Never point a gun at anything that you're not willing to completely and utterly destroy. And then rule two is keep your finger off the trigger until your sights on the gun are on the target that you want to completely and utterly destroy, and you've decided that you're going to actually shoot at that target. Only then do you put your finger on the trigger. And finally, be sure of your target and what's beyond it. Nothing like, I think that's what I want to completely and utterly destroy. I mean, I'm 95% sure that's what it is behind that tree or that other obstacle. No, you need to be completely sure of your target. This has been a public safety message from people who are scared of guns. Rightfully so. We should all be scared of them. Yes. people who are scared of guns here at WMFO in Medford. Tufts. Educational radio. Backing me up right now is Brian Eno once again, and a track called Ikebukuro, after a neighborhood and a train station in Tokyo. Well, we're going to start off the next set with another remix. This is a Chemical Brothers song, but it was remixed by a guy named Errol Alkin, his Feel Me rework of this song, Believe. And I remixed it up, thrown in a whole bunch of clips from who knows where, but in particular The Matrix. And we're also going to be hearing in the of note a piece called Who Builds the H-Bomb that Chuck, you turned me on to. And it's one to think about, you know, what's the particular responsibility of people for making weapons? Everybody's able to say in the whole chain of construction of these things, well, I don't like build the whole thing. I just contribute a little piece. And you'll hear more about that. And, well, like President Eisenhower had two speeches that were some of the most important speeches in American history. They kind of bookended his administration. The Chance for Peace that we heard in the beginning, earlier in this show, and his farewell address for the nation in 1960, when he was handing things over to John F. Kennedy, and he warned about the dangers of the military-industrial complex. And before he was president, he was a general and certainly a military man, and he knew all about that. And it's sad to say that his warning was not only forward-looking, it unfortunately came to be true. But this next set, we're bookending with the Chemical Brothers. And as we explore our theme of It's Atomic here on the Plastic Sushi, Strawberries and Time Sound Collage. Can you feel me? This is the Chemical Brothers. Believe. Errol Alkin's rework. Can you feel me? Rework. Can you feel me? 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 Can you feel me?
Of course you know this means war.
Chingachgook, you warned me about people like you. He said do not try to understand them. Do not try to make them understand you. That is because they are a breed apart and make no sense.
I need you to believe in something. I need you to believe in something.
As a miner, I work underground. I really don't see where the ore is all bound. Who builds the H-bomb? Not I, says the foreman at the enrichment plant. We build no bombs here. We don't, and we can't. Who builds the H-bomb? Not I, says the metallurgist inside his shop. We build the triggers, but that's where we stop. Who builds the H-bomb? Not I, says the worker on the assembly line. I weld and I solder. The blame is not mine. Who builds the H-bomb? Not I, says the sergeant in charge of maneuvers. They're already made when we test them. Disprove us. Who builds the H-bomb? Not I, says the bombardier. Not up in the air. My job is to fly and then drop them with care. Who builds the H-bomb? Well, not I, says the taxpayer. Don't look at me. I've no choice but to pay. Now, don't you agree? Who builds the H-bomb? Not I, says the senator. That you can quote. I'm only elected because of your vote. Who builds the H-bomb? Not I, says the banker, and I cannot stop it. So what is so wrong about making a profit? Who builds the H-bomb? Not I, says the physicist. I just do research. Science is objective, and I belong to a church. Who builds the H-bomb? Not I, says the preacher. It's all in God's hands. It's one of those things only He understands. Who builds the H-bomb? Not I, says the Almighty. I gave you free will. Destroy my creation, yourselves you will kill. Who builds the H-bomb? It must be someone. And I have a feeling it's everyone. All of us build it. Yes, all of us do. Will you stop for me if I stop for you?
Don't participate and it won't happen.
Some good advice from Mark Levy and David Skondras. If we all do build the H-bomb, I'll stop for you even before you stop for me, just to set an example for peace and disarmament.
No thanks, I think I'll stick around here and see what pops up. Maybe I'll get lucky.
Even now, in this very room, you can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Do not try and bend the spoon. That's impossible. Instead, only try to realize the truth.
The time has come to world. The time has come to world. The time has come to. My finger is on the button. My finger is on the button. My finger is on the button. Galvanize. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on.
falls victim to one of the classic blunders. Most helpers never get involved in a land war in Asia, but only slightly less well known in Fist. Never go in against a Sicilian when death is on the line.
There's no question that a single instrument can sound beautiful, but place it next to a different yet equally beautiful one, and the result can be magical. It's like the harmonies created in a diverse neighborhood where folks from different religious, racial, and cultural backgrounds all lend their own unique tone to the community voice and community spirit. Diversity promotes a greater sense of engagement. It lessens racial stereotypes. It better prepares our children for the global community they will inhabit. In fact, neighborhood diversity doesn't just sound good. It sounds great. To better understand the benefits of diversity, log on to aricherlife.org. That's www.aricherlife.org. A message brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance in celebration of the 40th anniversary of the Fair Housing Act.
Tonight, it's Atomic on the Plastic Sushi Strawberries and Thyme Sound Collage as we commemorate the anniversaries of the first two atomic bombs that were dropped, and so far the only bombs that were actually dropped and detonated in war. Started off that last set and finished it with the Chemical Brothers. Believe the Errol Alkins Feel Me rework mix began our set. And then we heard from Chuck Yu. No, actually, thanks to Chuck Yu for that Mark Levy piece, Who Builds the H-Bomb, which came to me through Chuck's Star Wars, Nuclear Disasters, and the Politics of Armageddon compilation. And we followed that with U2, Love and Peace or Else, from their album, How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb. And we finished with the Chemical Brothers, Galvanize, the Abbe Duke remix. And among other sources, we had The Matrix. Some clips from The Matrix in there. And, well, I wanted to say I've been doing some research for this show, and the debate over the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, there's an article in Wikipedia that I think covers both sides to a great deal of depth, and it's well worth reading to understand the people who say that dropping the bombs and using them against Japan saved millions of people's lives by not having the invasion and ending the war. I mean, there was lots going on in World War II. Like in Vietnam, for example, up to 2 million people starved, and finishing the war helped save many people there. And there's the American servicemen who would have been killed. And there are the Japanese people who were trained and indoctrinated to never give up. And with the Allied American invasion, people who were willing to kill themselves. And then there are other people who present a different perspective. A couple of... And I think it's all covered pretty well in the Wikipedia articles. I also wanted to mention, I've been interested in alternative histories, which is a science fiction topic in the way that they've been covered. But a couple of years ago, I got to wondering whether World War I was inevitable. If you look at exactly the way it started with the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand of Austria, who was in line to rule the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, well, when he was actually assassinated, it was almost like a comedy of errors that it happened, and it could very well not have happened. But after a lot of research and reading a lot of historians, I've come to the conclusion that World War I was gonna happen no matter what. The different countries were just so at odds with one another. And when World War I started, many people in both the Allied and the Axis were looking forward to it. They're like, well, we're going to have this war, and we're going to show them who the real soldiers are. And they went into World War I, both sides, thinking it was going to be over relatively quickly. And but World War II, all the different ways that it could have ended and could have gone, I think that's much less certain. And another possibility of not having dropped those bombs, but would have been Stalin taking over the world, and that could have happened too. There were so many ways that World War II could have ended differently, and World War III could have happened after that relatively quickly. And, well, I think now's a good time to understand that better, as we have the specter of North Korea, and there's a lot of craziness that could go on with that. And having President Trump, there's so many ways he could start a war now, isn't there, too? Well, in any case, we're going to finish things up with our last set before we expect Chase Carson to be coming in promptly at 10 p.m. And we're going to conclude. Well, we're going to start off our concluding set with a Japanese band, one of my favorites, Denki Groove. And this one is actually about Hiroshima, or titled, this is Expo Hiroshima by Denki Groove.
recently the World Health Organization did a study, and they only took 7,000 nuclear weapons. In this study, they targeted every city and major town in America, United States, Canada, Russia, China, Europe, England, India, Vietnam, Korea, Australia, New Zealand, the Philippines, Guam, and elsewhere. They couldn't find any more significant targets.
Every city with a population of 100,000 or more people has been targeted.
In the first hour alone of this attack, which is a limited nuclear war, which will not occur, it will be full scale, 1 billion people died from blast alone. I repeat, 1 billion people died in the Northern Hemisphere, and in the next couple of weeks, 1 billion more died of the effects I just described. That's half the world's population. New data, however, has been produced by Carl Sagan et al. To show that these 7,000 bombs dropping on cities would cause such extraordinary fires, with oil refineries and oil dumps and chemical dumps burning, that the dust and smoke would be injected into the troposphere and would cover the Northern Hemisphere with a cloud of smoke so thick that the sun would be obliterated from the planet for several months to up to 1 year, causing the temperatures to plummet to minus 55 degrees Fahrenheit, raging snowstorms in the middle of the summer, huge tidal waves coming in from the coast. The plants will all die because they will not be able to conduct photosynthesis in the dark. And we and the animals will freeze to death in the dark, dying of acute radiation illness with levels of fallout much higher than previously predicted, our hair falling out, vomiting, bleeding to death, and dying of septicemia. And because of the temperature differential at the equators, this cloud will move rapidly down to engulf the southern hemisphere and do the same thing down there. But they find that maybe the threshold for this effect is only 1,000 bombs dropping on 100 cities.
I had a dream.
This effect is only 1,000 bombs dropping on 100 cities. Maybe the threshold for global extinction is 1,000 bombs dropping on 100 cities. Together we own 50,000 nuclear weapons, but President Reagan says that we don't have enough, and he plans to build 17,000 more in the next 10 years. Now I want to get on to prognosis. Prognosis means how long do we think we'll survive?
People that I've spoken to, it's a useless task. Make them answer questions that they would never ask. I've been through all of this, don't say I'm not aware. If I don't give up everything, as if I didn't care.
Too late, too late.
sister than my love. Lead her away from this foreign land.
Yeah.
So you've been listening to the Plastic Sushi Strawberries in Time sound collage only here on WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform and Educational Radio. And this evening, our theme's been It's Atomic, and we've been commemorating and reflecting on the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And that last set, we started off with a Japanese band, Denki Groove and Expo Hiroshima. Then a Chuck Yu music montage, Nuclear Winter, Paper Crane, Wooden Ships, from his Star Wars, Nuclear Disasters, and the Politics of Armageddon. And we finished things off with AC/DC and Shot Down in Flames. Thanks so much for listening, and remember, we want you to have fun, but if you're under the influence of anything, never even think about getting behind the wheel of a car and driving, because people die that way. And you know what's worse than that? Driving while distracted and hitting somebody. That's a terrible thing to do, so please don't do that. This is Sun Ra and his orchestra. It's our jazz prelude to the time tunnel, which is coming up right now with Chase Carson. Stay tuned for that until midnight. And thanks for listening to WMFO in Medford.